Amen. Well, tonight, we are continuing our series on goals for growth. And this has been a tremendous series. And of course, the first week we learned how to set SMART goals. And the second week, we had Tanner Gregorich with us and talked about some physical goals. And then last week, my husband, Don Burns, talked about some financial goals. Amen. And so tonight actually was supposed to be the last part of the series. But as I was preparing, I found that there was no way that I could fit both family goals and marriage goals into one. All right. So we're going to extend it out one more week, okay? So tonight, with pastor's approval, I called him and I said, I can't make it work in 30 minutes. So he said, take another week. So tonight, we're going to be talking about family goals, godly family goals for growth. And then next week, we're going to be talking about marriage goals, okay? And yes, you're probably wondering what's underneath this table right here. We're going to get to that in just a minute, all right? So tonight we're going to talk about family goals, right? So let's go ahead and look at the Word of God. Let's look first at Psalms 127, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. You know, in today's culture and society, we have to be really intentional with God's word in order to build our families on the godly principles. Because this world is very, very loud. And it talks a lot to our kids and our teenagers, now more than ever. I mean, I know a lot of you sitting in this room are older, like myself, and you know, you remember a life without computers and cell phones and, you know, iPads, right? But now we have all this technology, and you know, the world speaks so loudly, not only through just TV, but all of this technology, right? Proverbs 22:11, which is a scripture that is used a lot when talking about raising families and children. I'm going to read it in the NLT because I like what it says. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, what I like about that, it says, direct your child onto the right path. That implies that you have to do something. You have to direct them onto the right path. They don't just naturally find the right path. So if we have to direct them, as parents, we know that that is our responsibility, then we have to take action, right? And so what are some of the challenges facing Christian families today? I want to talk about the top three, all right? There's many, but the top three biggest challenges facing Christian families are this. Number one, disconnection from God. Disconnection from God. You may say, yeah, but you're talking about Christian families. Yes, I am. Do you know that church attendance in the last decade among Christian families has decreased? Only 20% of Christian families attend a church service one time a week. Only 20%. 41% of Christian families attend church just once a month. That is sad, right? Talk about the disconnection from God. If we are not bringing our families to church, they are not able to have that time of connecting with God. So that's a big problem with Christian families today. Number two is weak communication skills. Weak communication skills. I found this statistic really interesting, is that 53% of teenagers reported having trouble talking to their fathers and communicating with them. Over half, right? And we all know that the fathers are the examples, the leaders in the home, right? 33% of teenagers reported having problems talking to their moms, right? Moms are just a little bit less intimidating, right? I did find this interesting as well. 30% of parents reported that they had a really difficult time having any type of meaningful conversation with their children beyond just, you know, the basics of how was your day and do you have any homework? So obviously, communication, weak communication skills are a problem for Christian families today. And then the third one is lack of time together. Lack of family time together. You know, studies show that the average family only spends 37 minutes per day together. Out of 24, only 37 minutes a day. And so knowing that these are challenges, you know, we need to look at what we can do to overcome these challenges. So tonight, how I'm going to break it down with our goals for growth, I'm going to talk about a goal that we should have for our family. I'm going to give you some action steps, super practical tonight, right? Lots of worksheets. Anybody like a good worksheet? All right, I know, like I'm one of these nerdy people and I love a good worksheet. And so I've got worksheets for you, and at the end there's going to be a QR code and you can download them all so you can do them at home. But I'm going to give you a goal, I'm going to give you a couple of action steps, and then I'm going to give you some family habits to make part of your family for each of these goals, all right? So number one, goals for growth for our family. We should center our family on God's word, right? If we know the number one problem is in Christian families is disconnection from God, our goal for growth should be to center our family around God's word. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." You know, the Bible admonishes us to be Christ-focused, to be God-focused, to be Bible-focused all throughout the day, right? Not just, you know, one day a week when we're going to church, but in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, right? You know, there are a lot of demands on families, so it's going to take work for us to have a Christ-centered family. So what should our first action step be if we're going to center our family around God's word? Our first action step is to model Christ-like behavior. Model Christ-like behavior. You know, there's a famous quote, it's by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it says, "What you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say." What you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say. You know, our kids are watching us more than they're listening to us. And some of you say amen, right? Because your kids, you don't feel like your kids listen to anything you say, but they are watching. And are we modeling Christ-like behavior? What happens when you're stuck in traffic and running late and somebody cuts you off? Is it a Christ-like response? How do they see you interact as a couple together? Do they see you walking in love and solving conflict in a Christ-like manner, according to 1 Corinthians 13? What do they see? What are we modeling? Because children will become who you are, not what you say to them. And so we need to make sure that we are modeling Christ-like behavior. So do a little checkup on yourself. And the next time you start to act, just think about, is this how Christ would respond? Because my children are watching. You know, I just read something this morning. I was doing my daily devotions and it really struck me because it was talking about walking in love and kindness. And it said, Learn to not react with your first response, but learn to be patient and go with your second response. Because usually, you know, when something makes you mad, your first immediate reaction is usually not the love one, right? You usually have to stop and say, okay, how would Christ like me to respond? So learn to respond from your second reaction. All right, number two action step. Create a family mission statement. Create a family mission statement. You know, how do you know if you get somewhere if you don't know where you're going, right? If you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you accomplished it? Now, I created this worksheet, all right? And all these worksheets are original, so I'm not stealing anybody anything, all right? That is really small on that screen, so I'm gonna have to look like this, okay, to go over it. So this is a family mission statement builder. At the end, gonna get a QR code. If you wanna take a picture of it, you can. What is this? To be a Christ-centered family, you should gather your kids, gather your teenagers, and you as a family should come up with the mission that God has for your specific family. You can get together and answer questions like, what are the top three values that your family is going to live by? Right? Is it going to be faith? Is it going to be walking in love? Are we going to be generous? Are we going to be giving? What is that? As a family, come up together with that. Number two, what is your family's ultimate purpose or goal? Pray about that. What do you as a family want to accomplish on this earth for the kingdom of God? Number three, what are some specific Bible verses that represent your family's values? Once you come up with that, get in the Word. Get your kids to get in the Word. Come up with scriptures that are your family scriptures and write them down. Number four, what activities or traditions can your family do to live out these values? Is it volunteering and serving together somewhere? What is it? Is it doing an activity together? Is it doing some type of ministry together? Is it looking for people to bless around Christmas time because one of your family values is generosity, right? Do you see how if you can get your kids in on this and get a buy-in with them, that your entire family then becomes Christ-centered, right? And then number five, how will you handle conflicts or challenges in a way that reflect your family mission? Come up with ways that you'll handle conflict. So once you answer those questions, you can take kind of all those answers and you can come up with, you know, two or three sentences, a little paragraph that would be your family mission together. And you know, it might be something that you type out, you put on a wall, you put on the fridge, maybe you put it in all the kids' rooms, maybe read over it so you can be reminded that your family mission is centered around God's word. Amen? So what are some family habits that you can have with your family to be centered around God's word? Well, you can have family devotions, right? You can implement in your family the pause and pray technique, right? So what is pause and pray? What it says. Pause, you know, when you don't know what to do, when somebody's getting too upset, anybody in the family can go, hey, this is a pause and pray moment. And everybody stops and pauses and they pray, right? And that could be a family habit that you have with your family. Think how great it would be the next time that if you made this a habit with your family, the next time that you and your teenager were starting to have a few words and it was starting to get a little escalated, that this became so much of a habit that your teenager said, hey mom, hey dad, I think we need to pause and pray, right? So pause and pray. A family faith journal. I love this idea of, you know, having a journal, and it's a family journal, and you have your family mission statement. And whenever you do something that aligns with your family mission statement, write it down. Maybe you've been as a family believing God for something and he answers the prayer, say, hey, we need to get our family faith journal and write it down. And then reflect over that. See the goodness of God to your family. See the things he has done, the prayers that he has answered. That is going to keep your family centered around God's word. Of course, daily prayer times, right? Not just at meals when we're praying over the food, but daily prayer times. Have a time for that. Maybe you support missionaries together. I know this is a habit that my husband and I have, and we still have, but when our boys were little, we made them a part of it. And there was, when the boys were growing up, there was a certain missionary that we supported. It was a couple, and they were missionaries to China. And so we would make it a habit when the newsletter would come in, we'd read it to them. At Christmas time, those missionaries would send us a tiny ornament and we would hang it up and we'd remember them and say, yeah, we support these missionaries. We better pray for them, right? It became a family habit because that was part of our core value because we want the gospel to get out, right? So some family habits that you can do, maybe you already have some, maybe these were some ideas that you can expand, but it probably would be a good idea, mom and dad, to write these down so that your kids, your teenagers know, hey, these are our family habits, right? Amen. All right, number two, goals for growth. If we know that, you know, weak communication is a major issue for Christian families, our goal for growth should be to create a culture of communication, right? Create a culture of communication. Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. You know, I find it interesting that 53% of teenagers say that they have a lot of problems communicating with their father. I just wonder if maybe that's the reason that this scripture's in the Bible. I don't know. But, you know, how does the Lord instruct us? You know, fathers, if you're called to not provoke your children to wrath, but instruct them as the Lord instructs us. The Lord instructs us with mercy and with grace and with love, but never fear, right? And so we need to create that culture of communication in our families with our children. I mean, you think about the prodigal son over in Luke 15. I'm not gonna read it, but go look at it. That was about a father and two sons and, you know, one that rebelled and went off on his own. And just note how that the father treated that son when he came back and had done all the wrong things. Of course, he yelled and screamed at him, right? No. He said, hey, welcome home. And he embraced him, right? And said, hey, I want to restore you. That gives fathers a look at how that they should be treating their children, right? Colossians 3 verse 13, let's look at this. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. You know, sometimes that's even your kids. Remember the Lord forgave yourself, so you must forgive others. Amen. So we need to remember that. We need to remember to cultivate a culture of communication, right? We have to be open. So what is an action step? An action step would be quick to listen and very slow to respond. Quick to listen and very slow to respond. You know, don't react. Don't overreact. Don't freak out. You know, when your kid tells you something, ask questions instead. Seek clarity because good communication comes from understanding. So if your child says something that is maybe a little upsetting to you, instead of just, you know, reacting and saying, why are you saying that? And, you know, getting really upset, just say, hey, you know, I want to understand this fully. Can you tell me more about that situation? Or ask some questions for clarity. Try to seek understanding, right? Kind of reminds us of a scripture in James, right? James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, right? You know, children, teenagers, the quickest way for them to quit telling you things is to overreact and to freak out, right? So, you know, my husband and I, we always wanted open communication. No matter if we liked what was coming out of their mouth or what they were saying or not, we did not want to shut that communication down. Because what we knew, and parents, please listen to this, if you overreact and freak out when your kids talk to you, they will stop talking to you. But guess what? They need to talk things out, so they will find somebody else to talk to. And you don't have control over the advice that that person gives them. So it would be much better for them to be able to come to you, to communicate, for you to ask questions, seek clarity, and remain calm and come to an understanding and be able to lead them and guide them and parent them with godly principles than for them to go to somebody else who may not give the godly advice. So we have to do that. You know, I know one time with our older son, you know, he was in sixth grade and he had gotten, you know, a cell phone. And so we had all the cell phone safety things, you know, and we had talked to him. And so there were people that were spamming, you know, how different spam things come out with cell phones. Well, at this time, they were sending a text that said, hey, I have a picture for you from a random number. And if you click the link, it was a really not great picture, if you know what I mean, right? And so we had told our son about that, like, hey, don't ever, if you get a text from somebody you know, don't ever open up the picture, you know, don't ever click on a link. You know, we're doing all the right parent things. Well, I never will forget. One night, my husband and I were just watching TV, and our older son comes into our room, and he has his cell phone, and he's holding it like this in his face. He goes, and I'm like, what? And he goes, I know you told me not to open up any picture from anybody I didn't know, but I did, and he just kind of held the phone like this, and so my husband took it really quick and looked at it and was like, okay, and, you know, started erasing it. Did we freak out and say, we told you not to do that? No. You know, we simply said, all right, it's okay, calm down. Thank you so much for telling us. I'm so glad that you did. Let's talk about it. You know, what did you see there? How did that make you feel? You know, why are those things not okay to look at? And we just had a real teachable moment based upon the word of God, right? And it was so much better that he came to us because, you know, he very easily could have said, ooh, mom and dad are going to be really mad and freak out and not, and we wouldn't have had that moment to have that teachable moment. So you have to create and cultivate a culture of communication, all right? So I have another worksheet for you, right? And it's a communication covenant, okay? That's the next step, a communication covenant. So I'm not gonna take the time to read all of this for lack of time, But this is a communication covenant, and you sit down with your kids and you go over it. Maybe you like it. Maybe you want to take some things out. Maybe you want to add to it. But it talks about how you will communicate with love, and it gives scriptures for each one. It even gives practical rules like no name calling and, you know, no insults, and it's okay to say time out and, you know, if things get too heated. And go over this with your kids, and then you sign it, and then your kids sign it, and then guess what? You hold each other accountable. Yes, if you start to freak out and you have this covenant and your emotions start to run a little high, your kid could say, hey, I'm calling a timeout right now. This conversation is getting too heated. And should you listen to that? Yes, because you're in a communication covenant, right? You know, us parents, we aren't perfect, right? So this is a tool that you can use. Family habits. What are some family habits? All right. Ask for forgiveness and forgive quickly. That should be a habit in your family. And even us as parents, we could ask for forgiveness. You know, our younger son, he's done something from the time that really he was in elementary school that it's one of the qualities that I absolutely love about him. Is that, you know, like he would be cranky and, you know, just kind of, you know, being difficult, you know, and he would know it. And he would come to me and he'd say, hey, Mom, you know, this day is starting off really bad. Can we just erase it and start over again and forget that that happened? And I said, oh yeah, absolutely, let's do that. It's forgotten. And I love that about him. And I actually learned it from him. He's so good at it. He even does it now as an adult. And so, you know, one day I was kind of in a bad mood and I was kind of cranky to him and just taking some things out on him that weren't his fault. And I finally said, you know what? Hey, Wes, I was like, Mom, sorry. I'm just kind of cranky today and it's not your fault. You know what? Will you forgive me? And can we start over and just pretend like that never happened? And he's like, yeah, Mom, we can do that. And what a great thing it is to model forgiveness and to be able to admit and ask for forgiveness, even when us parents are wrong. So ask for forgiveness and forgive quickly. Talk with kindness and respect. That is a great habit to practice as a family. The no interruption rule, right? You know, maybe if there's a member in your family that's constantly interrupting and that gets really frustrating, you know, maybe you can have an object. Maybe it's like a dinosaur. And like when somebody is holding that dinosaur, that means they, you know, you can't interrupt and you can't talk until you have the dinosaur or some object, right? A no interruption rule when you're trying to work out conflicts and communicate. Maybe there's tech-free conversation times where everybody puts their devices in a drawer and you just have, you know, tech free so somebody's not getting distracted by their phone, right? Another family habit for communication that really opens up communication, this is really great. It's called highs and lows for the day. We did this with our kids usually around the dinner table, and we would all go around, even my husband and I, and we'd say, okay, what was your high for today? And it was like the best thing that happened. We found out so much about our kids' day because typically if you ask, especially a teenage boy, how was your day? Fine. What'd you do today? Nothing. You know, well, you know, that type of thing. So we would ask their high and then we would say their low. Hey, what was your low today? And that opened up a multitude of conversations and about how to deal with things when things weren't going well. So those are maybe some family habits that you can have. You know, busyness can steal time away from your family. And so our third family goal needs to be to cultivate family activities and traditions. If we know that families only spend 37 minutes a day together, we need to cultivate and work at having family activities and traditions. You know, somebody said this, to be in your children's memories tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. to be in your children's memories tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. You know, sometimes the emails can wait, that phone call can wait, because time with your kids is so precious. And you have to remember, no one can be a parent to your kid except for you, because God has called you to be their parent, and He's equipped you with the skills and abilities to be that child's parent. You know, when I get together with my family of origin, my mom, my dad, and my brother, when we're reminiscing, we don't reminisce about, you know, the great toy that we got for Christmas, but what do we talk about? We talk about the times that we spent together, right? The funny stories, the traditions that we used to do. And I'm sure it's the same in your family. And we have such a limited time. I actually want to get to this. I want to show you how limited our time is and how important it is to cultivate family time and to fight for that and not let the busyness of our culture, because we live in a culture that promotes busy, 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 right? But we need to fight against that. All right. So hopefully they're getting a camera shot on these marbles, right? So these are all the same size of vases, right? Here's what they represent, okay? This one right here is when your child is born. And each marble in here represents a week that you have with your child until they are 18 and graduated from high school. So at birth, you have 936 weeks with your child until they graduate from high school. That seems like a really long time, right? But look at how quickly it goes down. Look at how many marbles are here. This is when they enter kindergarten. Look at how much it's gone down already. In 5 short years, you now only have 676 weeks until your child graduates from high school and they're on their own. Look at how quickly it goes here. You see this one? This is in 6th grade when they enter middle school. Look at the amount of time it's already gone down. You only have 364 weeks left with your child. But when they enter high school, right here, you only have 208 weeks left. In 4 years' time, you only have 208 weeks. It's not a lot. And this one right here with barely any marbles, I don't know if you can see it. This represents when they start their senior year in high school. You only have 52 weeks left until they graduate. That's not a lot of time. It goes so quickly, quicker than you expect. And we have to fight to have that family time. We have to go cross-culture. So our action step is set boundaries on extracurricular activities. That time that you have with your kids in your home goes so quick. And so you have to set boundaries on extracurricular activities. You know, what is a boundary? Think of a boundary like a fence, like, you know, you fence in your yard, right? What does a fence do? It keeps bad things out and good things in, right? But in all fences, there's a gate, right? And you get to be the gatekeeper. You get to say, oh, okay, I want to let this thing in. Or you get to say, I'm going to open it and let this thing out. Think of your extracurricular activities, whatever it is, sports, band, dance, you know, music, whatever it is. Think about it that you have a fence around it, and you're able at any time to close and say, no, no more extracurricular activities. We're going to just keep our family time. Or you have the ability to open it up and say, yeah, we're going to allow this one, right? Culture will tell you, man, you got to get your kids in everything, and you got to start young, and you got to start early, because if you want them to be a professional athlete, you got to start them when they are 3 and when they are 4 and when they are 5, right? Do you want to know the statistics on sports and professional athletes. Do you want to know how many high school athletes go on to be professional athletes? 0.03%. But yet we spend all this time, practices, travel weekends, because we buy into the lie, our kid's going to be a professional athlete, when in reality they have a 0.03% chance, right? We have to guard our time because it's so short, right? We can't let all of the things rob us of that precious time to spend together and teach those godly principles. So another action step is a family time audit. And I really encourage you to do this. And so it's a worksheet that we have. I know. I went on a worksheet frenzy, okay? Time audit for families. So I've added in here work, school, extracurricular activities, family meals, screen time, you know, and places for other. And you can write down current hours per week and then desired hours per week and work towards that goal, all right? Family habits, in my last few minutes, family habits, you know, to create togetherness and to create family time and traditions. Family dinner, all right? This is a real simple one. Can I read you some statistics on how important this is? It says families who have frequent dinners together at least three times per week are 3.5 times less likely to be addicted to drugs, 3 times less likely to use marijuana, 2.5 times less likely to vape or use any type of tobacco product, and 1.5 times less likely to use alcohol. Simply by having family dinner together at least 3 times a week. Those are the statistics, right? So you want to know the sad thing? Only 30% of families have dinner together at least 3 times a week. We need to create a family dinner habit. Sabbath days and times. You know, the Bible talks a lot about, you know, a Sabbath. And basically all that is, you know, a time together where we get rid of all the distractions and we just spend time together. So maybe designate Friday nights or, you know, Saturday mornings or Sunday afternoons is like, hey, this is a family time, no friends, no activities. We're just going to spend it together. Screen-free zones in the house, right? Because sometimes we're sitting together in the living room and everybody's just scrolling on their phone and there's no talking, there's no family time going on except everybody's sitting in a room looking at a screen, right? Weekly traditions. Maybe you have, you know, every Friday night is movie night, right? And you pop popcorn and you watch a movie. Or maybe it's, you know, brunch Saturdays and, you know, you go to brunch on Saturday, but create a weekly tradition that will help you cultivate that family time together. But church, I really believe that if we really strive to implement these goals, to create our family on God's word, to create a culture of communication, and to cultivate family activities and traditions, we really will see a change in our family. So this is my challenge to you, all right? Take a screenshot of this. See if you can do this. I challenge you to do this. Commit this week to finding a time that your family will gather together and do some type of devotional, some type of prayer each week. Find that is so important. And so first things first, find a time every week that your family, every day that your family can spend with God. I challenge you to do the family time audit this week. In the next 4 weeks, I challenge you to complete the family mission statement. That first one, do the mission statement. And then number 4, I want you to create one family tradition that enables your family to spend time together. So that's my challenge to you. I want to put the QR code up on the screen. All right, take out your phone, put your camera up there, You'll see it underneath your camera when you hold up there, you'll see words. Click on that, all right? It'll have all the worksheets. You can click save and save that to your device, or you can email those to yourself, however you want to do it. If you don't know how to do it, don't worry. Leave that up there on the screen just till the end of service so they can get that. This is also, if you go to rhema.org, underneath downloads, the worksheets are downloaded there for you, and you can just save them onto your computer. So if you don't know how to work this QR code, go to rhema.org underneath downloads, and you'll see these family growth worksheets, all right? Just leave that up there. I just want to pray for you and your families before we go tonight, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for every individual sitting here, for every family represented here. Father, I just thank you that they will be reminded of these things over the next days and weeks as they are parenting their kids and their teenagers, Father. I just thank you, Father, that you would help each family to grow, Father, to set goals for growth. Father, just show each parent in here how to parent their child, how to center their family around the Word of God, how to cultivate communication and have strong communication with their kids and their teenagers. And Father, just give each parent in here creative ideas, ways that they can have fun and spend time together as a family before they become empty nesters, Father. And we just thank you, Father. You said that if we lack wisdom, to ask you. And so, Father, I thank you that you would give each parent in here wisdom and knowledge to know how to implement these things into their family. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, our prayer team is coming down. If you're in here and you know you have a prayer need of any kind, healing, salvation, being filled with the Holy Spirit, or really just anything, maybe there's an issue in your family and you want prayer for it, these are trained individuals. The men are on this side, ladies are on this side. They would love to pray with you about anything in your life. Amen. Well, guys, next week really will be the last in this series. And next week, we'll be talking about marriage goals for growth. We love you. Don't forget to sign up for Winter Bible Seminar for all the areas that we need help in. And we will see you right here at Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless you guys.